At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Online dating can feel like playing with fire. Sometimes, it's a thrilling, heart-pounding experience, and other times, it can burn you in ways you never expected. My story falls into the latter category, a chilling reminder of the dangers that lurk in the shadows of the digital world. I matched with a guy named Jason on Tinder. His profile was captivating, clean-cut, well-dressed, with a charming smile and a love for adventure. His bio talked about his passion for nature, cooking, and spontaneous road trips. We started chatting, and our conversations were engaging and fun. Jason seemed like the perfect blend of excitement and stability, someone who knew how to have a good time but also had his life together. After a couple of weeks of texting and exchanging photos, Jason suggested we meet in person. He proposed we go for a hike in a nearby national park. It was a bit unconventional for a first date, but given our shared love for nature, it felt like a great idea. I was excited but also a little nervous. Hiking alone with someone I'd never met in person had its risks, but Jason seemed trustworthy, and his enthusiasm was infectious. The day of our hike arrived, and I drove to the meeting spot at the park's entrance. Jason was already there, leaning against his car with that easy smile I'd grown fond of. We greeted each other, and after a brief chat, we set off on the trail. The weather was perfect, clear skies and a gentle breeze, and the trail was beautiful, winding through dense forest and along a bubbling creek. As we walked, we talked about our lives, our favorite places, and future dreams. Jason was charming and funny, and I felt at ease. But as we ventured deeper into the woods, something shifted. Jason's demeanor changed subtly, his laughter less frequent, his eyes more intense. The trail grew narrower and less maintained, and I started to feel a nagging sense of unease. After about an hour, Jason suggested we take a break by a secluded clearing near the creek. The spot was picturesque, but its isolation made me uneasy. We sat on a fallen log, and Jason pulled out a water bottle and some snacks. As we chatted, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. Jason's questions became more personal, probing into my family, my daily routine, and whether anyone knew where I was. A cold chill ran down my spine. I realized with growing horror that I had told no one about this hike, not even my close friends. I had been so caught up in the excitement of the date that I'd overlooked a basic safety precaution. Trying to hide my rising panic, I casually mentioned that my friends knew I was here and would check in soon. Jason's expression flickered, a brief flash of something dark before he plastered on a smile. He suggested we continue the hike, and I reluctantly agreed, my mind racing with possible escape plans. As we walked, I subtly took note of landmarks and paths, trying to memorize the way back to the main trail. Jason seemed to sense my growing anxiety and tried to distract me with stories and jokes, but the joviality felt forced. Suddenly, he stopped and pointed to a faint trail leading off the main path, suggesting we explore it. My heart pounded in my chest as I made an excuse about needing to head back soon. Jason's smile faded, replaced by a hard, cold look. He stepped closer, his voice dropping to a menacing whisper. "You're not going anywhere," he said, grabbing my wrist with a grip that made my skin crawl. Panic surged through me, and I yanked my arm free, stumbling backward. Without thinking, I turned and ran, crashing through the underbrush, my breath ragged with fear. Jason's footsteps pounded behind me, getting closer with each second. Desperation gave me speed. I remembered a bend in the trail ahead and pushed myself harder, my lungs burning. I darted around the bend and spotted a thick cluster of bushes. Without hesitation, I dove into the foliage, flattening myself against the ground, my body trembling. Jason's footsteps slowed as he reached the bend. I could hear him cursing under his breath, his voice dripping with anger. He prowled the area, calling my name in a twisted, mocking tone. I held my breath, praying he wouldn't find me. After what felt like an eternity, Jason's footsteps receded. I stayed hidden, too terrified to move. When I finally dared to peek out, the trail was empty. My heart pounded in my ears as I crawled out of the bushes and cautiously made my way back to the main trail, constantly looking over my shoulder. I reached the parking lot and found my car, my hands shaking as I fumbled with the keys. I locked the doors and drove away, not stopping until I reached a crowded gas station miles away. There, I called the police and reported what had happened. The next few days were a blur of fear and paranoia. I stayed with a friend, too scared to be alone. The police took my statement and searched the park, but found no trace of Jason.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
They assured me they would continue investigating, but I knew the chances of finding him were slim. The experience left me shaken and wary of online dating. I realized how easily trust can be misplaced and how dangerous it can be to meet strangers in isolated places. It was a harsh lesson in the importance of safety and the need to always let someone know where you're going. Online dating was supposed to be fun, an exciting way to meet new people and possibly find love. I never imagined it would lead to one of the most terrifying experiences of my life. It all started when I matched with a guy named Mark on Tinder. He was attractive, with a friendly smile and a profile that made him seem like the perfect catch. We started chatting, and our conversations were easy and enjoyable. We shared a lot of common interests, movies, hiking, and a love for trying out new restaurants. After a week of messaging back and forth, Mark asked me out on a date. He suggested we meet at a trendy new restaurant downtown. I was excited, but also a bit nervous. I had been on a few Tinder dates before, but something about this one felt different. There was an intensity in Mark's messages that was both thrilling and a little unsettling. The night of our date arrived, and I took extra care in getting ready. As I arrived at the restaurant, I spotted Mark waiting by the entrance. He looked just like his photos, and his smile put me at ease. We exchanged pleasantries and went inside, where we were seated at a cozy table by the window. The evening started off well. Mark was charming and attentive, and our conversation flowed effortlessly. We talked about our favorite movies, places we wanted to travel, and even some of our past dating experiences. But as the night progressed, I started to notice something odd. Mark seemed to know a lot about me, details I hadn't shared in our chats. He mentioned my favorite coffee shop, a recent trip I had taken, and even the name of my childhood pet. I felt a chill run down my spine. I hadn't told him any of these things. Trying to hide my growing unease, I asked him how he knew so much about me. "Oh, I guess I just remember things," he said with a casual shrug and a smile that didn't quite reach his eyes. The rest of the date passed in a blur. I tried to stay engaged, but my mind was racing. After dinner, Mark offered to walk me to my car. I declined, making up an excuse about meeting a friend nearby. He seemed disappointed but didn't press the issue. As I drove home, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was very wrong. I checked my phone and saw that Mark had already sent me a message, thanking me for the evening and suggesting we meet again soon. I responded politely but decided to take a step back. Over the next few days, Mark's messages became more frequent and intense. He wanted to know where I was, who I was with, and what I was doing. When I didn't respond immediately, he would send multiple messages, each one more frantic than the last. I started to feel suffocated. I tried to create some distance, but Mark's persistence only grew. One evening, as I was heading home from work, I noticed a familiar car following me. My heart pounded as I took a few detours, trying to lose the car. It finally turned off, but the experience left me shaken. The next day, I saw Mark's car parked outside my office. He was sitting inside, watching the entrance. Panic surged through me. I called a coworker and asked them to walk me to my car. As we left the building, I could feel Mark's eyes on me, but he didn't approach. That night, I received a barrage of messages from Mark, accusing me of avoiding him and demanding to know why I was ignoring him. I felt trapped and terrified. I decided it was time to involve the police. I filed a report and showed them the messages and photos I had taken of his car. They advised me to block him on all social media and to change my routines. I followed their advice, hoping it would be enough to make him stop. For a while, things seemed to quiet down. I didn't see Mark's car, and the messages stopped. I started to relax, thinking it was over. But then, one night, I heard a noise outside my apartment. My heart raced as I peeked through the blinds and saw Mark standing outside, staring up at my window. Fear paralyzed me. I called the police, my voice shaking as I explained the situation. They arrived quickly, but Mark was gone by the time they got there. They assured me they would increase patrols in my area, but the fear remained. The next few weeks were a blur of anxiety. I couldn't shake the feeling of being watched. The sight of Mark's car or a message notification sent me into a panic. One evening, I came home to find a note taped to my door. It was from Mark, filled with apologies and declarations of love. My hands trembled as I read it, and I knew I couldn't stay there anymore. I packed a bag and went to stay with a friend. With the help of the police, I eventually got a restraining order against Mark. The legal process was long and stressful, but it was necessary for my safety. Even with the order in place, the fear didn't go away. I had to move to a new apartment and change my job to feel secure again. The experience left me wary of online dating and the potential dangers it can bring. It was a harsh reminder of the importance of trusting your instincts and being cautious when meeting strangers. I became more guarded, always careful to protect my personal information. Online dating had always seemed like a modern fairy tale to me. The idea of meeting someone from anywhere in the world, with just a swipe, felt almost magical. But that magic can quickly turn into a nightmare, as I was about to learn. It all started on a quiet evening when I was swiping through Tinder. I came across a profile that immediately caught my eye. Her name was Emily, and her pictures were stunning. She had a warm smile, bright blue eyes, and seemed to share many of my interests. Her bio mentioned her love for hiking, photography, and coffee shops, three of my favorite things. I swiped right, and to my delight, we matched. Almost instantly, she sent me a message. We started chatting, and our conversation flowed effortlessly. Emily was funny, intelligent, and seemed genuinely interested in getting to know me. We talked about our favorite hiking trails, shared photos of our pets, and even exchanged recommendations for coffee shops. After a week of chatting, we decided to meet in person. Emily suggested a cafe downtown, a popular spot that I knew well. The anticipation of meeting her in real life was thrilling, but as the day of our meeting approached, a slight sense of unease began to creep in. I brushed it off as first date jitters. The day finally arrived. I got to the cafe early, choosing a table near the window where I could see everyone coming in. As I waited, I sipped on a latte and tried to calm my nerves. The cafe was bustling with people, the aroma of freshly brewed coffee filling the air. The minutes ticked by, and soon it was past the time we had agreed to meet. I checked my phone, but there were no messages from Emily. Another 15 minutes passed, and my excitement began to wane, replaced by a growing sense of disappointment. Just as I was about to leave, a woman approached my table. She looked nothing like Emily's photos. She was older, with dark hair and a nervous expression. My heart sank. "Are you Alex?" she asked, her voice trembling slightly. "Yes, I am," I replied, trying to hide my confusion and disappointment. "I'm Emily," she said, sitting down across from me. A cold wave of realization washed over me. This woman had been pretending to be someone she wasn't. My mind raced with questions, but I managed to keep my composure. "Why did you lie?" I asked, my voice steady but filled with hurt. Emily, or whoever she was, looked down at the table, avoiding my gaze. "I'm sorry," she said softly. "I didn't think anyone would talk to the real me." Her confession struck a chord, and despite my anger, I felt a pang of sympathy. We talked for a while longer, but the initial spark was gone. I couldn't shake the feeling of betrayal. Eventually, I made an excuse to leave, promising to keep in touch, but I knew I wouldn't. That night, I blocked her on Tinder and deleted our conversation. I tried to move on, but the experience left a bitter taste. I felt foolish for being deceived so easily. But the worst was yet to come. A few days later, I started receiving messages from unknown numbers. At first, they were just simple greetings, but soon they became more intrusive. Whoever it was knew details about my life, where I worked, my favorite coffee shop, even my daily routine. The realization hit me like a freight train. Emily, or whoever she was, had been stalking me. My heart raced with fear as I read the messages. She described seeing me at the cafe, mentioned what I was wearing, and even sent photos of me walking to work. Panic set in. I reported the number to the police, but there was little they could do without more evidence. I started changing my routines, taking different routes to work, and avoiding my usual spots. But the messages kept coming, each one more threatening than the last. One evening, as I was getting ready for bed, I heard a noise outside my apartment. My heart pounded as I peeked through the curtains. There, standing in the shadows, was the woman I had met at the cafe. She was watching my apartment, her eyes fixed on my window. Fear paralyzed me. I grabbed my phone and called the police, my hands trembling. She didn't move, just stood there, staring. The minutes felt like hours until I finally saw the flashing lights of the police car. By the time they arrived, she was gone. The police took my statement and promised to patrol the area more frequently. But the damage was done. I felt unsafe in my own home, constantly looking over my shoulder, fearing she would return. The next few weeks were a blur of anxiety and sleepless nights. I installed security cameras and changed all my locks, but the fear remained. Every time I received a message or heard a noise outside, my heart would race, expecting the worst. The experience left me wary of online dating and the potential dangers lurking behind seemingly innocent profiles. It was a harsh lesson in trust and the importance of being cautious when meeting strangers from the internet. If there's one thing I've learned, it's to always verify the identity of the person you're meeting and trust your instincts. If something feels off, it probably is. And never let your guard down, because you never know who might be watching. Valentine's Day had always been a special day for me, a time for romance, flowers, and candlelit dinners. This year, I was looking forward to spending it with someone new. Little did I know, it would become a day I would never forget, but for all the wrong reasons. I met Aaron on Tinder. His profile was simple but intriguing, with a few photos showing him at various outdoor locations, and a bio that highlighted his love for cooking and music. We started chatting, and our conversations were delightful. Aaron was witty, charming, and seemed genuinely interested in getting to know me. After a few weeks of texting, Aaron asked if we could meet for Valentine's Day. He suggested a cozy dinner at his place, promising to cook a special meal. It sounded romantic, and although the idea of going to his home for a first date made me slightly uneasy, his genuine demeanor and our connection made me agree. On Valentine's Day, I arrived at Aaron's apartment, a modest but well-kept place in a quiet neighborhood. He greeted me at the door with a warm smile and a bouquet of roses. The smell of something delicious wafted from the kitchen, and I felt my nerves ease a bit. The evening started wonderfully. Aaron was a fantastic cook, and the meal he prepared was exquisite. We talked, laughed, and shared stories about our lives. It felt like the perfect Valentine's date. But as the night progressed, subtle red flags began to appear. Aaron seemed overly interested in my past relationships, asking detailed questions about my ex-boyfriends and why we broke up. He also made a few offhand comments about how he didn't like being lied to or deceived, which made me slightly uncomfortable. I brushed it off, attributing it to his past experiences. After dinner, we moved to the living room to continue our conversation over a glass of wine. The atmosphere was cozy, with soft music playing in the background. But the conversation took an odd turn when Aaron began talking about his ex-girlfriend. His tone shifted from wistful to bitter, and there was a darkness in his eyes that I hadn't noticed before. He spoke about how she had lied to him, betrayed his trust, and how he could never forgive her. The intensity in his voice made me uneasy, and I tried to steer the conversation back to lighter topics. But Aaron's mood had shifted, and I could feel the tension in the room. Sensing it was time to leave, I thanked Aaron for the lovely evening and stood up to get my things. But Aaron's demeanor changed abruptly. He grabbed my wrist, his grip firm and unyielding. "Why are you leaving so soon?" he asked, his voice low and intense. We were having such a good time. Panic surged through me. I tried to keep my voice steady, explaining that I had an early start the next day. But Aaron's grip tightened, and his eyes bore into mine with a mix of anger and desperation. "You're not lying to me, are you?" he asked, his voice barely above a whisper. Fear took over, and I managed to pull my wrist free. I grabbed my coat and headed for the door, my heart pounding in my chest. As I reached for the doorknob, Aaron moved in front of me, blocking my way. "Don't go," he pleaded, his tone now desperate. "I'm sorry. I just don't want to be alone tonight." His sudden change in demeanor was jarring, and I didn't know what to make of it. Trying to stay calm, I gently but firmly told him that I needed to leave. He stepped aside, and I quickly exited the apartment, my hands shaking. As I drove home, I couldn't shake the feeling of unease. Aaron's behavior had been erratic, and the fear in his eyes when he talked about his ex-girlfriend haunted me. I decided to block his number and delete him from my contacts, hoping to put the unsettling experience behind me. But Aaron wasn't done with me. The next day, I started receiving messages from unknown numbers. They were from Aaron, apologizing profusely and begging for another chance. When I didn't respond, the messages became more frantic and threatening. He accused me of leading him on, of being just like his ex. The fear that I had felt the previous night returned tenfold. I reported the messages to the police, but they said there was little they could do without concrete threats. I tried to go about my daily life, but Aaron's presence loomed over me. One evening, as I was returning home from work, I noticed a car parked across the street from my apartment. My blood ran cold when I saw Aaron sitting inside, staring at my building. I rushed inside, locking the door behind me, and called the police. The officers arrived quickly, but Aaron had already driven off. They took my statement and assured me they would keep an eye on the area. But the encounter left me shaken, and the sense of being watched never left. A few nights later, I heard a knocking on my door. My heart raced as I peeked through the curtains and saw Aaron standing on my building's porch, his face twisted with anger and desperation. I called the police, my hands trembling. Aaron pounded on the door, shouting incoherently, until the police arrived and arrested him. The ordeal left me traumatized. I had to take time off work, and even after Aaron was charged with harassment, the fear lingered. I moved to a new apartment, changed my number, and became wary of online dating. The experience taught me a harsh lesson about the dangers of meeting strangers from the internet. Trust your instincts, always let someone know where you're going, and never ignore red flags. It's better to be cautious and safe than to find yourself in a situation you can't control.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a United Healthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about United Healthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.